What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show following today's awful, frustrating defeat to the Carolina Panthers. This, I think, is now a bit of a crisis. We looked sloppy all over the field. Fumbles, missed tackles, missed kicks, and other special teams issues, and another game with way too many penalties. Is this a general coaching issue? Are we missing Sean Payton's attention to detail? I'm sure that's all kind of things we're going to discuss over the next 30 minutes or so. I'm James, and I'm your host, and joining me this week is Jason, Wesley, and Scott. Good evening, gents.
Good evening.
Hola.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
For us, it'll be evening for me next week.
This time next week, it'll be evening for you, yeah. Right, let's get right into it, shall we? I think we should start with the offense, like we did last week.
Do we have to?
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of different things of, I agree that maybe coaching's a problem. Our offense, there's a couple of weird things going on where for three quarters we do not pick up blitzes. I don't want to speak like I know whose job that is. I think we have been told that it's Eric McCoy's job that is calling out blitzes. And then McCoy calls it to Winston, who then Winston relays it to the other players because he's behind them. That's what we've been told by, and we believe Nick Underhill that he knows what he's talking about. We look terrible at that. And by terrible, I mean, it looks like that we've never practiced it. We make do nothing whatsoever. Now I'll say, I think, I don't think fumbles are a coaching issue necessarily. But last week we have Mark Ingram took 7 points away from us. And this week, Alvin Kamara gives 7 points to our opponent. And I mean, those are just not fantasy. That's what happened on those two plays by our running backs. And I think that we can agree that the 7 points would have made a difference in this game.
Yes.
Just like last week when the game was 3-3, 7 points would have made a difference in that game. Regardless of what happens after that and all, like, it's just, it's really weird. But with all these veterans and skill players and Olave's not playing like a damn rookie, it's really strange what's going on. Cause it looks like we don't have a game plan. And I'll just say, like, I realize that Jameis is part of our offense. We're going to talk about that. Jameis took, I believe one sack today for an 11-yard loss. Jameis is not sitting back there taking big hits with his back and all that. And so, yeah, he's throwing the ball out quick. But for all those blitzes, I think he was hit 8 times today. There was 8 quarterback hits by Carolina. Maybe it was 7.
It was nine
quarterback. Okay, and he sacked once. So that's meaning he's getting rid of the ball under duress over and over again. Now, what he does with the ball is his fault. I'm not just going to dismiss that. But our offensive line's not helping him. And then we have a couple drives a game where it's like we know what to do. And that's what's frustrating. If we sucked from start to end without a single good drive, we had three or four great drives today that should have resulted in points.
There was the drive that we scored, the drive we scored a touchdown on where Jameis Winston went 7 for 7 for 77 yards, I think it was. And in that one drive, at that point in the game, he had more yards through the air than Baker Mayfield had in the entire game. And that was in the one drive. And that's what I was saying about it being frustrating. We've seen glimpses of what this offense can be. And it's frustrating that it's only really happened twice in three games.
We love killing ourselves. Our first drive of the game, moving the ball, looks easy. All right, we're going to go score 7.
I don't think that was a penalty.
A penalty on Ingram. I mean, I guess it definitely didn't look like a penalty, but I guess technically Ruiz was kind of engaged with the defender. But to me, it was fucking bullshit.
Well,
and then
boom. So the penalty is if he's engaged and you hit him below the waist.
Well,
Ingram touched him at the waist and then fell down the ground without touching him at all.
Right. It was such bullshit. So yeah, I mean, it negates a big play by Michael Thomas. So we're looking good. We're driving. All right, let's just put it away and go. And then shit like that. It's just all game, whether it's a penalty, whether it's just looked we look flat, man. There's no juice to this team at all right now. And that is really concerning to me because clearly, I mean, we think the talent's there. It appears the talent's there. Just no fire in this team, man. None.
Yeah, the offense, I mean, too many penalties, way too many penalties. I don't know what they can do to get that cleaned up, but just way too many dumb penalties. No personal foul penalties this week on anyone, which I guess was good. But, you know, offensive line did not look great. You know, we at times they looked okay, and times they didn't. You could tell that – you kind of almost tell that Kamara didn't seem like he was 100%. You could tell that Jameis didn't seem like he was 100%. You can't really lay it at the feet of any one person. It was just a collective effort of shit.
I think we saw growth from Jameis, though, from last week. And that's what they said last week was going to be his most painful week with the injury. I thought we saw growth from him this week.
I mean, he still looked like
– You mean growth or improvement?
Like he had misses, like at the end of the half, when it was third down, like he had Kamara open just to get the first down. We still had two timeouts left, and he decided to go for Jarvis in the end zone instead. It's like take the first down, and then you got three shots to the end zone. Like that would have been a smart play. So that was kind of on him. But
I mean, he gets excited, doesn't he? But we knew that with Jameis. He gets excited.
But it's just yeah. I mean, again, it's...
I think he definitely was better than last week. I think he learned some things from last week, and for sure there was definite improvement. I think this game that he played today, if he played that game last week, I think that big of a defensive score or you know effort would have been better last week with the or if our offense would have done anything. And again, last week Ingram took 7 points from us. This week, Alvin gave 7 points to them. Jameis playing that way last week would have been huge. And Jason, I want to say, like the thing you said, I think is 100% correct about the fire. I'm wondering if the stuff we heard in week one is how, even though we were down by 16, that our team stayed calm. It was like, no, we're fine. I wonder if maybe this is the game they needed to get rid of that overconfidence. I think our team went into this thinking we're better than we are and thinking that on some Sundays, there's going to be some crappy teams and we're just going to beat them because we're more talented. And believe me, I fell for this too. But I fell for it because I'm a fan. The team shouldn't fall for it.
No.
But it sure seemed like the Atlanta and Carolina game is like, oh, we're just going to show up. We're better than them. Like,
and yeah. One, I mean,
so hopefully that changes now.
One thing that was funny to me to mention on the broadcast, Jameis had told them that, you know, that he talked to his dad earlier in the week and his dad told him, well, look, if the downfield pass isn't there, it's okay to settle for underneath play. I'm like, well, why doesn't he not know that already? Like, why is he just hearing that from his dad now? And it's like a big epiphany for him.
Well, like, Jameis has been talking about that for a year and a half. That's a stupid talking point, I think, by the announcers that were honestly awful today.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they were bad.
I mean, like I said earlier to y'all, we didn't deserve any better. We got the announcers we deserved for sure.
For this, you know, because look, Carolina's a bad fucking team. Carolina is a bad football team.
Baker Mayfield is an awful quarterback. Like that is, I mean, I would rather have Trevor Siemian than Baker Mayfield after what I just saw today.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a great game. I mean, that, you know, if we make some tackles, that one long touchdown, we make tackles and that doesn't happen. And, you know, at that point, too, if we had made those two field goals, it would have been what, tied?
Yeah.
Yep.
So
without that long touchdown, Baker Mayfield would have had less than 100 yards passing today.
Yeah.
And they only scored one touchdown. I think he ended up with
140 yards passing today, something like that. Less than 50%.
Yeah.
Well, and to be fair, we talked about in the first game of the year against Atlanta, we had pretty bad tackling. And then last week, we had great tackling. And then this week, like, we had bad tackling this week. And I get it that McCaffrey is, you know, slippery, but it was like people like Hubbard and some of their and DJ Moore and people like that that we did, and of course LaVisca Chenault. We had bad tackling against a lot of people today. I mean, it looked terrible.
I mean, is that on coaching? Is that on players?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of creeping into defense. I don't know if you wanted to go straight into defense like that, James. But
no, well, I mean, there's a couple of other things I've got noted down to talk about. With the offense, and obviously wide receiver injuries is one of them, and we need to keep an eye. Jarvis Landry, I'm surprised. They showed a video of him testing out his ankle in the third quarter. I didn't think he would be leaving that stadium not on crutches the way he was carted off the field. But
he went from probable to return. Like, as soon as he came out, they called him probable to return for about 12 or 15 minutes. And then he went to questionable to return. Like, they downgraded him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that hopefully gives you a good feeling that.
He's definitely missing 6 weeks. It's coming. Get ready for it.
And then obviously Michael Thomas didn't look hurt as he walked off, but then you don't know what the problem is.
They said it was a foot.
But.
But one thing I will say is today we got Chris Olave's coming out party.
Same. No one's going to remember it though.
We need it. We need it because, I mean, it's him and Callaway right now.
I mean, what did he end up with? 150 yards receiving
140,
today?
140, yeah, 100. I think something like that.
A lot. But
don't miss that. Also, Deontay Hardy missed this game too.
Yeah.
Sounds like we planned on him playing, and we definitely didn't have a backup plan for kick returner or punt returner because we tried everybody. Hardy hasn't been huge in our offense this year, but at least that is another receiver hurt. And then Traquan Smith gets a concussion at the end. Traquan Smith could miss 5 or 6 weeks from a concussion. Our shoulder. This is the same shoulder that he hurt in preseason. Yeah. So, I mean, this could be the end of the season for Traquan.
Is that the second best play of his career?
He had 100 yards.
He had 100 yards on 3 catches.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about the second best play of his career, besides the Breeze touchdown.
Are you telling me there's a chance that Kevin White comes to London? telling me there's a chance?
Are there any footballers over there that you think would convert to a good wide receiver we could just pull off?
They've probably got a Kwon Baker jersey.
Jason,
there,
so you can pull off whoever you want in London.
Okay.
Right, I think that covers it for the offense. I mean, Callaway's catch with the touchdown was unreal. Oh, by the way,
he stole an interception from Carolina.
That's what Callaway is, though. He's not a number one. You've got to have them as your two or three. He's not good enough to be the one. Yeah, He's been five. Yeah, this is the so-called amazing depth of wide receiver that we are all absolutely wet for in the offseason, and it's not been great so far, has it?
I do believe Callaway can develop into something. He came from not playing very – even in college, he was at Tennessee. He was a punt returner, kick returner. He didn't play that – I mean, he wasn't like a big-time receiver even for them. So he's still got a lot of developing. I think he's got some potential. And just on the offense, I mean, I'm not a film study person. I couldn't watch it during the game. Cesar Ruiz looks like he's bad. Like, I get it. We were getting pressure from everywhere. We're getting a lot of pressure. Like, if we tried to run the ball, like he blocked, was looked like some decent run blocking in the first quarter. And then every time we ran at them, and my last thing on coaching, did y'all notice how often if we got an incompletion on first down, we handed off the ball?
Yeah.
Ross Jackson tweeted that we did it 6 times, and that was at the start of the fourth quarter. We had done it 6 times where we incompletion on first down and then run the ball in second. And I'm pretty sure we lost a yard on every single one of those second downs. So it's 3rd and 11 every time.
Yep.
That is 100% coaching. We don't need to even talk about if that's a player or who that is. That's bad coaching.
Yeah. No. I agree on that.
I do think we missed Taysom today too, to be honest. Like he may have provided a spark.
I don't know. The offensive line wasn't doing much in the run game. Really, outside of like the first Kamara run looked good, but other than that, like
Kamara was pretty
solid. This would be the one game I'd agree with that, Scott. Like, I mean, I would say I'm sure there's others. I'm not a Taysom fan. With the way that we mix it up and all. I actually think today we could have some of those times when we had the ball a little bit in our own territory and just needed a couple of yards. And Kamara's clearly hurt. Ingram is running, holding on to the ball like he never has before. And I guarantee you that's making him run less hard and fast. 100%. Like Ingram is doing everything he can to push the ball into his belly button.
Yeah,
like it's funny watching him run. His legs aren't moving as much as usual. He's got no wiggle. I mean, I guess he doesn't really.
He's also what 31. So,
but Taysom, I think, would have been able to take a little of that pressure off of Kamara, who wasn't healthy, and Ingram, who is scared to lose the ball.
Yeah, No, I agree.
I hate saying good things about Taysom and Green with Scott. It's really tough for me, guys.
Did anyone know what Pete's injury was in the end?
Concussion.
Yep. So that's him done then for a week.
I mean, that's what happens when you fall straight on your back when somebody hits you in the chest. You end up getting a concussion.
It's so bad. What is Doug Marrone doing? Like, is this a thing where we've just brought a retread in and he's having an easy
retread? Oh, what is that you say?
Wait, hey, to be fair, we had our best drive of the season when Throckmorton came in for Pete.
Yeah.
So does Throckmorton need to be playing for Ruiz on the other side if Pete's healthy? I mean,
Throckmorton's never done anything too bad to have.
Yeah.
It is.
No, not at all.
But that's
enough for the offense now. Special teams.
I'm special.
Literally.
That's three missed kicks from Lutz now in three games. Like, one was blocked. But it's still three missed kicks.
For a shorty, it was kicked pretty low. I mean, that was a chip shot. Just hit a fucking nine iron.
It's gross.
Like, is Greg McMahon coaching us on special teams again?
What's your favorite word? What's your favorite word, Jason?
Accountability.
Accountability everywhere.
James, what was the final score of this game?
22-14.
So, I mean, you think that maybe six more points on offense and seven less points to them, that those, I mean, the Kamara fumble for a touchdown and a couple of missed field goals, that could have, even one of those field goals with that touchdown,
they kind of made the game difference.
Yep.
Yeah, it might have made a difference. Yeah,
I'm not a rocket surgeon or anything, but it sounds like those numbers add up.
Those exist.
What's a rocket surgeon?
Exactly.
Perhaps you should become a rocket surgeon. You've got a niche market there.
You could be the first in your field.
And listen, that's no way to go through, like, you know, as a football fan of saying, oh, this one play, but Alvin Kamara doesn't fucking fumble ever.
No, ever.
And then generally, if somebody does fumble, like, it's just not right in the middle of seven of their players who one of them picks it up and just trots in. And Will Lutz doesn't miss two field goals in a game. Like, those things don't happen. And so,
how many botch snaps as well?
Well, two in this game.
Two of them.
Yeah, but this.
So look, it comes down to the frustration thing again. You know, we've shot ourselves in the foot. But yeah, special teams has not been great. The defense then. I think apart from one play, it was okay again today. Apart from the Chenault touchdown, the defense was doing its job again.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
McCaffrey did run for 100 yards, so that's another 100-yard rusher we've given up this year. But he didn't do much damage with those 100 yards.
How many carries was that on?
18 or 19.
Okay.
He was going for 5 yards a carry at one point.
I think there's got to be a special mention on defense to Peyton Turner. One tackle for this game. One tackle in the season. I just think it's fantastic product from a first-round draft pick. It's just absolutely fantastic.
Hey, at least he was active and played.
Have you got a non-sarcastic point to make to the debate, or are we just going to
I think we miss May, obviously, today. Like, I think Marcus May makes that tackle on Chenault.
Yeah. PJ just went in there too hot and got done. But then Matthew as well.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
Did not look good.
Well, I think that, I mean, it's, again, one play. You take that play out, and I think that we'd be arguing on here if we had the best defense in the NFL. I mean, the defense looked fantastic. Now, again, I also would have come out of that saying, I think that Baker Mayfield is really bad this year. So I'm not sure, like, where the credit goes, but we'd be in the argument. I mean, there's a lot of this that our defense looks fantastic. And you still don't have – Adebo played a little bit and he made a couple of good tackles, but they were definitely had him on a pitch count today.
Yeah.
And you know, you got May missing, but we got to be able to deal with injuries.
Well, it had to be frustrating for him to play pretty well for most of the day, and the offense couldn't do dick. So, you know, they had to be getting frustrated a little on the other side. Like, they're trying to hold him off. They didn't even give up the fucking touchdown for the longest time. And then the offense just keeps making mistakes and can't do it. So that had to be frustrating. And yet they played hard.
I'm about to be hypocritical here, because last week I said, if your defense plays amazing, doesn't give up a lot of big plays and points, you shouldn't be mad at the defensive line for not getting pressure on the quarterback. This week is not that week. That's against Tom Brady when you're making him get the ball out fast. I'm scared about our defensive line not getting pressure on Baker Mayfield,
yep,
who's back there hitting the ball and pumping. And I mean, when McCaffrey doesn't have the ball, you go get Mayfield. And we didn't do that today at all. So I'm a little bit worried about, and again, I don't know if we start talking about coaching again. We got Dennis Allen and Ryan Nielsen up there coaching those defensive linemen, and there's something not happening. We're not getting pressure, at least with four people, at all.
I think this comes back to the point Jason made earlier on, and that was there doesn't appear to be any fire. The intensity doesn't seem to be there from the front four.
Aiton has left the building.
The intensity is there from Pete Werner, because again, he had another good game. DeMario was always, you know, like that. But the front four, there doesn't seem to be the energy or the effort. I mean, effort's probably the wrong word, but that there is a spark missing on that defensive line at the moment.
Mm. And in general, just all round, all sides of the ball is just sloppy. There's something's been taken out of this team, and it's just like an eel for a balloon. It's just got a slow puncher going on. It's just terrible.
And to be fair, no, we did have three quarterback sacks for 22 yards. A couple of those, I think he was scrambling, and we just got him before he got to the line. And then we did have six hits. And then Werner had 11 tackles.
Yes.
He's got to be pretty close to the NFL lead in tackles.
He was leading in solos before this game.
Well, he had six more today, which is a lot. So
good.
I don't know if this goes back to coaching or special teams, but I don't understand why we went for an onside kick with 2 minutes and 22 seconds left when we were down by eight. Like, why wouldn't we kick it deep and let our defense try to stop them?
I think we were trying to save time, I think, was the reason for that. Because obviously, if you kick it and they return it, time
comes off the clock. Kick it out at the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean,
they could still return it. What you had to do was kick it out of bounds.
Well,
it just didn't make much sense to me to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't like it there with over the 2 minute warning. I think under the 2 minute warning, obviously, you got to do that.
Right.
Over the 2 minute warning.
You still had the 2 minute warning. Regardless, you're going to get one play before the 2 minute warning anyway. So,
right. It just didn't make much sense to me to do that.
No,
but
I do wonder. You know, what's the mojo? What's the vibe like on this team now after this loss? You know, is there any chance of Allen kind of maybe losing the locker room, losing the players? Is this could be a situation, you know, remember after 2013, we were all riding high. We had a rebound season and that locker room was just garbage. Now I know there's a lot of good guys in this locker room, but is there a chance it turns sour?
I don't think so. I think Ben, I'll expand on what he said earlier. I think this is the perfect time for our team to be on a 9-hour flight together. Or 8 hours, or 7 hours from Carolina.
Unless it turns into the flight from hell, like for the WWF back in 2002.
Oh, gosh. Please, no.
Ric Flair's going to get his dick out.
Michael Thomas.
Oh, shit.
Well, Michael Thomas might not be on the plane.
Yeah. So, do you think these guys didn't want to come to London, so they're all going down with injuries to stay at home?
No, I don't see that.
They were not looking forward to the food that much.
Hey, well, I can tell you somebody who is already in this country is enjoying the food. So,
and he can still get upstairs.
Yeah. Has anybody got anything else before we move to final thoughts?
Hmm.
I can't believe we lost to Carolina.
So that's a no then. Final thoughts.
It's London week. Get excited to come all this way and...
You could have saved that one for the last one, to be fair.
Yeah, because I have a big final thought, and it's not that happy. So it's a complete overreaction, but this is what this show is for. I am out on Dennis Allen. It's three games. I'm out. I think the organization hiring him and keeping Carmelo, I think it was lazy. I think this organization is not very good, and I think Dennis Allen is not a head coach at this point. I know it. Look, maybe he can turn around. Clearly, it's three games. Clearly, I'm overreacting. But I'm out. I think the Saints need to finally do a complete hard reset.
I'm out on Carmichael.
Well, I mean, obviously you got to play through the season. Not going to fire him now. You got to play through the season. But, you know, if they go 5-12, 6-11, we don't have a first round pick next year. I just, you know, we've been kicking the can down the road, kicking the can to road, trying to keep this going. I just think with Peyton gone, with Breeze gone, like, it's over. It's time for a reset. I think Allen was the wrong hire. I'm going to stick by that.
If the Eagles get a top 10 pick next year out of us, that is a sackable offense for the front office.
Get ready. It's coming. Get ready.
That is a sackable offense for all of them.
Yep. And to me, that's going to signify, you know what? It's time. Because it's going to take 2 or 3 years to dig ourselves out of this. This isn't a quick fix. This organization has gotten complacent and lazy because Peyton was running the show and Peyton was doing a good job. And even Peyton underachieved towards the end. But this organization does not know I don't think they know what they're doing right now. I think they've gotten by because we had that great run of success and they should have made the hard choice to go outside the box this offseason, and they chose not to. They chose to kind of keep it going, and I think it's going to end up being the wrong decision.
Yeah, I can't get it on board with that one because we have one of the best defenses in football, and I think that that's going to serve us well later in the year. I think that with what we as fans want with a bunch of great wide receivers and a quarterback with a huge arm and all that, and we wanted this huge offense, I don't know if that was ever the game plan, because we have a great defense. And we talked about this year that it might be one of those things where we on purpose are going to have a boring offense that scores a few points and all. Now, when that boring offense is getting penalties and never getting first downs, and that boring offense is fumbling the ball, that doesn't help when you just like Jeff said at the start of the year, that this is a team where if the offense can score 17 points a game, which is not elite, if the offense can score 17 points a game, you win a lot of games. Now, that doesn't count if the offense is giving points to the other team. So I'll say this, and I'll go back. I'm questioning what's going on with Pete Carmichael. Like, he's got to make an enormous adjustment. And I don't know what help he has. I mean, to anybody to talk to. Doug Marrone's not the guy that's going to help him with the offensive game plan. I'm not sure who he's got that's going to – Zach Strief is not the guy that's going to help him with an offensive game plan.
No.
So he's got to figure something out. And I don't know if that's making a phone call to Sean and saying, watch the game, please. But I'm all in on Dennis Allen. I mean, he's a defensive coach, and we know that, and our defense is elite. But I'm definitely going to question right now what's going on with Pete Carmichael.
It's not just about the boring offense, and our defense is good, but I just as the head coach, I just don't think our team appears disciplined, prepared, or.
But then where was this all that when Sean Payton was our coach and our defense was the worst in the history of the NFL? Where was the call for him to get fired? Yeah, we had the best offense in football, but we had the worst defense, and everybody was like, "Well, you know, Sean's an offensive coach; it's okay."
Where was that
accountability?
There were some calls to be fired. The problem is that the local media here, all they do is kiss the Saints' ass. Nobody's really that critical about they haven't been. So Sean kind of made it that way. Maybe they were scared to get access, but our local media here is a bunch of, you know, not everybody, but as a whole, they have not been critical about this organization much at all.
But even the point you were just making is that Sean kept it all together. But he didn't keep our defense together. We had the worst defense in the history.
We did, for sure. 100%. It was frustrating. He ruined a lot of Breeze years, and it sucks. But maybe at that point we were still. It was the Super Bowl. It's like, oh well, he's a Super Bowl coach. We can't fire him. I'm sure there was some of that. But
I think that was a big part.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that I just don't think Allen, so far through three games, he does not appear to me to be. A good head coach, great defensive coordinator, 100%. Our defense is very good, but there's a lot of other things that keep getting us beat.
Sure.
And that's on him, and it's on Carmichael's. Like, it's on them. It's on.
Carmichael is higher on my list of worries than Dennis Allen is, but by quite some considerable margin.
What were our worries last week? And they were what? Defensive line was a massive worry last week, wasn't it? And the offensive line.
Defensive line,
I think, did great.
It was a worry on the instant reaction. And when we went and looked at it and saw Brady's release time, if I remember listening to the instant reaction show last week, Oh, well.
Yeah, Scott, I get to travel 4,600 miles to go watch him again.
Hang on. Scott, you got any final thoughts?
Yes. So, from what I understand, the cat is pretty much meow out of the bag. So, I will go ahead and officially announce that I will be traveling to London to join the Dome Patrol crew. Don't act surprised, Jason. You already knew.
No, I don't. I will I be did heading.
You didn't. Renee didn't tell you?
No.
Okay. Well,
I believe that your wife may know, Jason.
Your wife knows. I will be officially traveling to London.
From you.
And we'll be with the Dome
Patrol. Scott, did you leave a phone charger at Jason's house when you were telling her?
No, I did not. No, I didn't tell her.
So, who's going to edit our podcast?
I don't know. We have to figure that out. We have to figure that out. But
yeah, we do have to figure that one out.
It was supposed to be a surprise, but the cat kind of got out of the bag. So, I will be flying to London on Wednesday night. I will be arriving Thursday around 12:45. And I'll be hanging out with you guys at the party at Ninth Ward and the tailgate party as well. And I have tickets to the game already. I'm actually sitting in the same section that Jason and Jeff are sitting in. So I will be there.
Yay.
So there you go.
I knew Wesley would be excited about it.
So there you go. Right, is that everybody done?
I don't know. Does anybody else have any? Wesley?
No, all done. Right, that's all the show we have for you this week. So thanks for listening in and downloading. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. And for those of you who are going to be in London next week, we'll see you at the weekend. Hoot out, everyone.
Good night, Hoot out Nation.
Bye-bye, Alan Donkeys.